And good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show for today. I hope you guys are all doing okay today. And this is a really focused show, so soon we'll be doing some rural headlines, followed by a bit of weather, and then we'll have a look at some gardening to-dos for the week. And later on, we're going to have a talk about the long, long history of humans and hemp. So plenty to come in the next hour or so. But for now, while I get the headlines organised, let's listen to a vinyl rip of Lou Reed's Andy's Chest. Hope you enjoy this one.
If I could be anything in the world that flew, I would be a bat and come swooping after you. And if the last time you were here things were a bit askew, well, you know what happens after dark. When rattlesnakes lose their skins and their hearts, and all the missionaries lose their bark, oh, all the trees are calling after you, and all the venom snipers after you, are all the mountains bolder after you. I could be any one of the things in this world that bite. Instead of a dentured ocelot on a leash, I'd rather be a kite and be tied to the end of your string and flying in the air, babe, at night. Cause you know what they say about honey bears. When you shave off all their baby hair, you have a hair pink bear, and all the bells are rolling out for you, and stones are all erupting out for you, and all the cheap blood suckers are flying after you. Yesterday, Daisy, May, and Biff were grooving on the street, and just like in a movie, became her feet. Her belly button was her mouth, which meant she tasted what she'd speak. Woo! But the funny thing is what happened to her nose. Ooh, it grew until it reached all of her toes. Ooh, now when people say her feet smell, they mean her nose. And curtains laced with diamonds dear for you, and all the Roman noblemen for you, and kingdoms, Christian soldiers dear for you, and melting ice cap mountaintops for you, oh, and knights in flaming silver robes for you, and bats that with the kiss turn prince for you. Swoop, oh baby, rock, rock. Swoop, swoop, rock, rock. Swoop, swoop.
Lou Reed, Andy's Chest there. I hope you enjoyed that one. And now it's time for the rural headlines here on the Over the Fence show. Fall armyworm caterpillars have been found on sweet corn and maize crops at two properties on the outskirts of Hamilton in the past fortnight. This comes after an egg mass of the worm was found in Tauranga last month, prompting a biosecurity response. The Foundation for Arable Research is urging sweet corn and maize growers to keep a close eye out for the pest, which can chew through 350 plant species, but prefers grasses and cereals. The pest is thought to have arrived from Australia via strong winds and is present in the Americas, Africa, and Asia. Growers who spot suspicious caterpillars on their crops are asked to contact MPI online or call Biosecurity NZ's Pest and Disease Hotline on 0800 80 99 66. So, see anything funny? 0800 80 99 66. A New Zealand clothing brand spinning knitwear out of merino and hemp is hoping to drum up demand for a hemp fibre industry here. The new label, Hemperino, sells knitwear made from a single blend of New Zealand merino and hemp. The company co-founder, Siobhan O'Malley, says the company is working closely with agribusiness company Carfields, which has partnered with Hemp New Zealand to research and develop the hemp fibre industry under a new company, New Zealand Natural Fibres. There's a lot happening in the hemp industry at the moment, and yeah, like I say, later on we'll have a little look at the history of humanity and hemp. About 85% of the imported silage film into New Zealand is now being recycled after silage wrap distributor Webline joined a large-scale recycling scheme. The scheme is run by Plasback, which collects plastic waste from farms and recycles it into material that can line farmyards, sheds and walkways. In 2020, the Minister for the Environment announced, announced that all farm plastics sold in this country would soon have to be covered by an accredited product stewardship scheme. And last time I had Rick Thorpe from Extreme on, he was talking about that. I'll have to get him back on and have another little chat about that one of these days. European dairy co-op Friesland Campina is trialling a feed additive that is said to reduce methane emissions from cows by 30%. The trial, which begins later this year, will use the DSM product Bovier, and if successful, will be upscaled from 200 to 10,500 Dutch, Belgium and German farmers. Fonterra has been trialling Bovier on some farms since the beginning of last year in New Zealand, and I've been investigating that, and I haven't seen any reports from the Fonterra trials on that yet, so I'll have to do a bit more investigation on that one, but it's all good. And human-induced climate change has cost New Zealand almost $1 billion in flood and drought damage alone over a 10-year period, and helped to trigger a dozen extreme rainfall events over that time, a new report says. The environmental report outlines how human activities are damaging the quality of New Zealand's land, air and water, and also reveals how climate change has a profound impact on mental health, particularly among farmers. The Environment Aotearoa 2020 report, released last week by the Ministry for the Environment and Stats New Zealand, shows that as the health of the environment declines, so too do human health and our economic prospects. Surprise, surprise, everything's interlinked, right? And similar to that one is farmer welfare is a serious concern in Southland after the driest start to a year on record. Southland Rural Support Trust says Southland Rural Support Trust Chair Cathy Connor said farmers are notorious for putting their animal welfare in front of their own health, so we encourage farmers to get help if they need it. So you can ring Rural Support or a friend or a neighbour or someone. Get in touch with someone if you're feeling a bit down in the dumps about how things are on the farm. And Rural Support Trust number is, of course, 0800 787 254. So the Rural Support Trust number is 0800 787 254. And overnight, the prices dropped at the Global Dairy Trade Index by about 4% for whole milk prices, but never fear, it's still record highs for the dairy industry. And those are kind of headlines for today, folks. So now I'm going to play you a beautiful song by the 3Ds called Beautiful Things.
Beautiful things can be waiting outside.
Beautiful Things there by New Zealand band The 3Ds. Hope you enjoyed that one. Now it's time for weather here on the Over the Fence show. And not heaps happening, but anyways, a north to nor'easterly flow lies over New Zealand today, with showers or rain into the west and a dry, warm weather in the east, from Canterbury into Marlborough and most of the North Island, kind of excluding the Central Plateau and a lot of the Bay of Plenty. There'll be highs in the early 20s, which is kind of unseasonal for the mid-April, well, later on in April, believe it or not, folks. Heavy rain develops this evening on the South Island's west coast as a front in the Tassie moves in. I don't know if it's going to bring much rain to us here in the Waikato, but yeah, it's slipping around the west coast of South Island anyways. And on Friday, the airflow changes to the southwest over New Zealand, which will cool the temperatures down. Rain in the western New Zealand will ease to showers. And for the Waikato, cloudy areas with occasional showers or areas of rain. Nor'easterlies, it's quite breezy. Yeah, it was quite breezy. It is quite breezy here today in Whangaroa today. And rain-wise, well, there's not heaps happening. There's decent falls expected tomorrow night. Looks like the best chance of rain for the next week or so. Chance of more light falls today, maybe a bit of trace rain and... yeah, they're expecting 17 mils tomorrow with that rain, and then trace rain again Friday, maybe trace rain again Sunday, Monday, and kind of every day there might be some trace rain coming in. So I guess, better than nothing, I suppose, folks. But, yeah, best chance for a decent drop is going to be, tomorrow night. And daytime temperatures are 23, 24 degrees today and tomorrow, and then 19 degrees expected for the rest of the week. Nighttime temperatures 17 again today, tomorrow, then dropping to between 11 and 14 degrees Celsius for the rest of the week. And the winds, well, east nor'east today, kind of going nor'east tomorrow. Strong southwesters on Friday, moving south southwest Saturday, west southwest on Sunday, and southwest to south southwest into next week. Humidity today, depending where you look, somewhere between 89 and 92 percent. And the sun rose this morning, folks, at 6:51 a.m. and will set at 5:49 p.m. this evening. The length of visible light is 11 hours and 50 minutes, and the actual day length is 10 hours and 57 minutes. Tomorrow will be 2 minutes and 13 seconds shorter than today. And the moon, ladies and gentlemen, is a waning gibbous, somewhere between 82 and 88% illuminated, will rise 8:09 this evening and will set at 10:31 in the morning. And hasn't it been beautiful... That lovely full moon we had. I just saw the sunset last night, actually, which put me in mind of the next song I'm going to play, actually, called One Rainy Wish by Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, beautiful colours, I could see from my place anyways. So that's kind of your weather. Oh, and the rainfall, before I forget. Ron Rumble out there in Ruapuki had 3.5 mils and you topped the charts this week, Ron. Good on you. Thanks for sending that through. Callum at Three Streams had only 1 mil of rain, and Craig up at Tuhuruwai had 3 mils. So thanks for sending those through, team. And, yeah, not heaps of rain, but, yeah, hopefully get a bit more this week. All right, so I'll come back with some gardening to do soon, but for now, here goes One Rainy Wish by Jimi Hendrix. Hope you enjoy this one. Thank you. One Rainy Wish there by Jimi Hendrix. Gardening time now here on the Over the Fence show on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM and Free FM 89.0 throughout the Waikato, or if you're listening on Spotify or Apple or Google podcasting, welcome to the show. I hope you guys enjoy it. So if you're gardening by the moon, ladies and gentlemen, it's a good time to sow beetroot and turnips and daikon. Good time to continue sowing carrots while the soil is still warm. And plant out your garlic in well-drained soil. That's what you do for the next few days from Saturday. Keep your weeds down as they can harbour bad insects over the winter. So, yes, keep an eye on these kind of things as you're going along. What else can you plant this month? Follow me now, ladies and gentlemen. Leesum, beetroot, blueberries, bok choy, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, calendula, carrots, cauliflower, celery, cyclamen, daffodil, daisy, delphinium, dianthus, feijoas, forget-me-not, garlic, hyacinth, kale, leeks, lemons, lettuce, limes, mandarins, mesclun, onions, oranges, pansy and viola, parsley, peas, polyanthus, poppies, radish, rhubarb, rocket, silver beet, snapdragon, spinach, sweet pea and tulip. So plenty there to keep you going in the garden, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, the good people at WEC right next door here, the Whangaroa Environment Centre. They have, just outside the door here in the town hall on Bow Street, they have their Aroha seed stand. So it's just sitting there, and all you got to do basically is cruise up, and they have seed raising mix and containers and a variety of locally grown, locally sourced seeds. So you can, and it's free. You just come and wander in, pick out whatever seeds you like, and take them home, put them, give them a water, and away you go. So there's something they're doing there, which is great. Community Gardens had a work bee there yesterday, so it'll be next Tuesday, the next one. Also coming up locally is a Banana Grove Ramble on the 30th of April from 10 to 1 o'clock on the 30th, and that'll be $10, and that's basically going there in three properties who have Banana Grove. So if you're interested in sussing out how to grow bananas, it's an excellent opportunity for you there. And also from WEC, I have to add that the new opening hours for the Tool Library from this Wednesday, 27th, this Wednesday coming up, are going to be from 9 to 5 on a Wednesday, so you can come in there. And I just had another little look around in there, and they have new stuff, brand new weed eater, brand new lawnmower, they've got power tools, gardening tools, a barbecue, all sorts of stuff in there. So come check it out Wednesdays. You can rock on there 9 to 5 and take a tool, have talked to the good people at WEC through there, and there you go. And I have a request from Kylie and her sons, Tan and Sunny, from the Whangaroa Environment Centre. They want to listen to Harvest Moon by Neil Young. So here we go. Harvest Moon, Neil Young.
On this harvest moon. 'cause I'm still in love with you. I wanna see you dance again, because I'm still in love with you. On this harvest moon,
Neil Young, Harvest Moon there for Kylie and her two sons, Sunny and Tan. Next door at the Whangarei Environment Centre. I hope everybody enjoyed that one. And as always, you can get a hold of me here on the Over the Fence show on overthefenceradioshow@gmail.com. Overthefenceradioshow@gmail.com if you want to give any kind of feedback, good, bad, otherwise. It's all appreciated. So you can play that or let me know about that whenever you like. And for now, so soon, yeah, we're going to be coming to do some hemp facts and then play a little hemp video about the history of hemp and humanity, and it's one of the oldest cultivated plants we've had. Just something a little different here on the Over the Fence show. But for now, let's listen to Lotus Flower by Radiohead. Hope you enjoy this one. folks. Welcome back to the Over the Fence show. And this is kind of like a hemp special. So what I'm going to relay to you now are some amazing hemp facts. Hemp is one of the world's oldest cultivated crops. Hemp is old, 10,000 years old. First recorded use of hemp dating back to around 8,000 BCE. It's said to be one of the world's oldest crops, if not the most ancient crop that humans have used. The US Constitution and also the Magna Carta was written on hemp paper. Interesting. Simply known as hemp was more commonly used as paper than trees and was sufficiently more durable. I guess that's why they're both around still. And hemp can be used to make clothing. I'm pretty sure everyone will probably know that. Very durable. In fact, I think it was just last week I was reading, or maybe this week, reading out on the headlines how they're going to make clothes out of hemp and merino instead of using synthetics. So that's interesting. And in the US, colonizers were forced to grow hemp in the States. But we're going to have a little chat about all the States kind of thing in a little while. We're going to hear from a guy. And in 1941, Henry Ford, the inventor of the car, of course, decided to invent an automobile that would change the environment as we knew it. He crafted an entire Model T made from hemp rather than steel, and one that ran off hemp oil. So, yes, originally there was his intention to run all vehicles off hemp oil, but, of course, the fossil fuel kind of crowd got involved with that and said, no, you're going to use petrol, and so that's how that one happened. And hemp, as it grows, enriches soil, increases the microbial content, and helping to pack it together. Results in extremely nutrient-rich soil that can result in huge yields of hemp month after month. Hemp can produce quadruple the amount of paper that trees can. Yes, indeed. And hemp can be used to create buildings and building material. Hempcrete is a biocomposite building material that's made from hemp herds. Stronger than concrete, more sustainable and fire-resistant. Hempcrete is rapidly growing in popularity, and the pyramids in Egypt were actually made out of hempcrete. There was I've done an analysis, and yes, there's hemp involved. So way back in the Egyptian days, hemp was used as a building material. So interesting stuff. And compared to trees, hemp requires very little water to grow and thrive. So 12 inches about per growing season compared to like 25, 30 inches for some trees. And hemp can act as an air purifier, absorbing more CO2 per hectare than practically any other crop being grown. And hemp absorbs toxic metals. The hemp plant is a great producer of phytoremediation, the process of plants absorbing toxins from the soil and water they're placed in, including things like heavy metals. Doesn't take very long to grow hemp, only a few months. It says here it's an ideal skincare ingredient. Hemp can replace plastic. Hemp has the potential to replace plastic materials, as hemp-based plastic is inexpensive, biodegradable, and easy to make with, how prolifically the hemp plant grows around. Hemp can be utilized as a meat substitute. Interesting. So, surprisingly, hemp is packed full of protein, more per ounce than any meat source. Makes it a great meat substitute as well as a great potential solution for world hunger problems. Yeah, maybe. And hemp is great for the mind and body. Yes, a few people will agree with that. Hemp fibers are some of the strongest on the planet. Even though they come from plant, hemp fibers are some of the strongest, most durable fibers on earth. Stronger than glass and metal, hemp is made to outlast almost any other materials. And it's a very sustainable crop, of course. So there's a few little fun facts for you about hemp. And soon we're going to come back and I'll play for you, it's kind of from an American angle, but like a bit of a history of hemp. But till then, here goes the clean with Fish.
We'll be right back.
clean there with Fish. And now I'm going to play you a talk about the history of hemp, which goes for about 10 minutes. It's kind of from an American perspective, but I hope you enjoy it anyways. Here it is.
There's a lot to cover, and it's really not surprising that hemp has such a deep and rich history with us humans because of how many ways in which we can use this incredible plant. It is arguably the most useful plant on the planet, so it's no wonder that we have tens of thousands of years of history with it. We can trace back the cultivation of hemp to know that it's been going on for at least 12,000 years. And it's understood that the hemp plant originated in Central Asia, although a lot of scholars believe that it has grown natively and is indigenous to the northern latitudes across most of the world. The earliest cultural evidence of hemp goes all the way back to ancient China, from 5000 to 3000 BC. And they had a very cannabis-focused culture. They wove hemp, they used it in clothing, they made pottery with it, and they even started using it as paper instead of papyrus. The Japanese also have a history that goes back to around this time. The first recorded medicinal use of hemp dates back to 2737 BC, also from Asia. Right around 2000 BC, it started spreading out of Eastern Asia west all the way into the Middle East, India, and Egypt. And all of those cultures also have their own rich history of using the cannabis plant for medicinal purposes, textiles, and more. So the hemp plant continued to travel west and eventually landed in Europe around the year 800 BC. But of course, you could take that date with a grain of salt because that's only the recorded known arrival of hemp. There's great evidence that suggests it had already been there for thousands of years, used by other people, just not necessarily written down in anything that we've found. From there, it did take some time until it actually made it to the Americas, and the first recorded use of hemp in the Americas is around 1500 Common Era, and the Spanish brought it over and started cultivating it in Chile. So in the early 1600s, we have our first recorded use of hemp in the United States. And apparently the Native Americans were growing it in what's modern day Virginia. The hemp that was growing here in the United States was superior to any of the European cultivars of that day. The fact that it had been found growing wild there, not just being cultivated, really points to the fact that it was probably there for thousands of years being used by the native populations. It's in this early American history that we really start to see a lot of recordings talking about hemp, how it was being used back then, and even promoting its use and cultivation. As early as the year 1619, the first Virginia legislature passed a law requiring all farmers to sow both Indian and American hemp varieties. And it was the Puritans that were the first to grow hemp in New England as early as the year 1645. Interestingly enough, the mandatory cultivation of hemp was a pretty common practice back in the early days of U.S. history. In both Connecticut and Massachusetts, they passed laws requiring everybody to plant a teaspoon of hemp seeds, with the thought that one day they can create an entire new textile industry not dependent on Britain. Hemp was so valued by the colonists that there was a time where you could even use it to pay taxes. And of course, one of the biggest supporters of hemp was the one and only George Washington. He even grew it himself. Back then, as it is now, it was a huge cash crop, and people were using it to make fabrics and other textiles. In May 1765, George Washington even wrote down in his diary, recording his planting of hemp seeds every day until mid-April. Later in that same diary, he recounts his harvest in October, which he grew 27 bushels in a single year. Good job, George. And George Washington was by no means alone. Other famous U.S. presidents that have been known to grow hemp, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Andrew Jackson, Franklin Pierce, and more. The hardcore promotion of hemp continued until around 1776. They were passing laws mandating farmers to grow hemp, and they even imposed fines for people who didn't. That's how important it was. Lobbyists were hired to promote and help educate the public about the importance of hemp. Thomas Jefferson recognized hemp as being superior to tobacco, which was one of the biggest crops of that day. He knew back then that it exhausted the soil, it took more manure, aka fertilizers, and also didn't provide any nourishment for the cattle. Where on the other hand, hemp doesn't take much fertilizer at all, is nourishing for livestock, and is not bad for the soil. Jefferson is quoted as saying that hemp is of first necessity to the wealth and protection of the country. And around 1815, Jefferson received the first U.S. patent for a hemp processing machine that reportedly did the work of 10 men. The belief that hemp was one of the most important crops in the Commonwealth continued well into the 19th century. And as production increased, more states like California, Illinois, and Nebraska began to grow hemp. By the early 20th century, industrialization even further improved hemp technology. And in part because they got rid of slavery, people were forced to make more efficient and effective means for processing the hemp plant. Eventually, the decortication machine was invented, which was considered a technology that would forever revolutionize the hemp industry. Not soon after that technology came out, a February 1938 edition of Popular Mechanics called hemp the next billion-dollar cash crop. Unfortunately, that was in February 1938, and it might have just been 1 year too late. It was in 1937 that the Marijuana Tax Act was passed, which basically put a heavy tax on anybody that touched the cannabis plant in a commercial setting. This act is partially why the hemp industry was destroyed in the U.S. And the businessmen behind it had vested interests in large amounts of timber to use the pulp for paper, as well as industry producing synthetic fibers and other fossil fuel-based plastic materials. The hemp plant was a clear threat to the industrial elite, and they did everything in their power to make sure it was inaccessible for hemp farmers. But they couldn't get rid of hemp that easily. It was used extensively during World War II to make canvas, rope, and other fibrous materials. Also during World War II, the U.S. Department of Agriculture produced a short film called Hemp for Victory, which you can still watch today, and it's basically a propaganda film promoting hemp cultivation and explaining why it is so important for people to grow hemp as it ends up supporting the troops and the war effort as a whole. Now, the same owner of all those trees that helped pass the Marijuana Tax Act in order to preserve his vested interests in timber for paper, well, he owned a bunch of newspapers. And it wasn't too long after Hemp for Victory came out that the papers started publishing a ton of racist material. Now, this racist propaganda is where the term marijuana madness was coined. And they directly tied it to Mexicans, African Americans, and jazz musicians. Of course, all of the dangers to society at the time. He went as far as saying that the use of marijuana caused excessive violence, sex, and threatened the safety of white women and children. Following this massive smear campaign against hemp and all forms of the cannabis plant, the complete prohibition was unfortunately soon to follow. In 1970, hemp was officially considered marijuana and grouped together under the Controlled Substances Act, and it became fully legal despite decades of government-funded research clearly showing that hemp was different than marijuana and that it had a ton of industrial applications. And this new classification for hemp absurdly put it in the category of a Schedule 1 drug, which means that it has no medicinal value and also is a high risk for addiction. And just as hemp farming in the U.S. became illegal, we saw the rise of synthetic fibers, synthetic fertilizers, and a massive explosion in all things synthetic that hemp could have replaced. So here we are, where the U.S. is currently importing tens of millions of dollars worth of hemp products, and we are just now coming out of this unnecessarily prohibitionary era, and hemp farmers in the U.S. are missing out. The good news is that progress is being made every single day. In the 2014 Farm Bill, it allowed for hemp cultivation under certain circumstances, and states like Colorado as well as Vermont started growing hemp again. Hemp is currently legal to cultivate in 33 states. And in 2017, over 24,000 acres of hemp were grown in 19 states combined. Most exciting is the Industrial Hemp Farming Act of 2018, which proposes to completely remove hemp from the controlled substances list, treating it as a normal agricultural crop, which would give farmers access to grants, federal water rights, and the federal banking system. This would be a huge step forward for hemp cultivation in the United States, and honestly, it would be bringing us back to where we were back in the 30s before it became illegal in the first place. And so that's really it. That is the briefest history of hemp that I could give you, covering tens of thousands of years consolidated here into a few minutes. It really is such an amazing time for this plant and this industry as it reemerges into the glory that it once had. As more and more people are finding out about hemp and cannabis as a whole, it's so important for them to realize that this isn't some new thing. This is one of the oldest plant allies in human history, and we have a profoundly rich history with it, from ancient China to ancient Egypt to the original colonists here in the United States and everything in between. Traveling around the United States, you can still see towns called hemp field, and our connection to this plant becomes undeniable. The CBD industry is currently acting as the spearhead to help bring hemp back into mainstream awareness. It's also providing an incredible opportunity for farmers to really tap into the plant as a cash crop until the industry matures some more and we have a greater use for the fiber and other aspects of the plant. And so here we are, on the cusp of coming out of 80 years of prohibition, where we've forgotten our relationship with this plant, but looking back, we can see how deeply connected to it we really are. And so what is somebody to do? Well, the number one thing that you and I can do is to support this amazing plant. You can do that by voting with your dollar and purchasing hemp products, whether it's hemp seeds for nutrition, CBD products, or hemp clothing. You could also get educated and share your knowledge with others, because the odds are, if you're watching this video, you know more than most of the people out there.
So there we are, folks. There's kind of an American sort of history of hemp for the most of it. But I hope you enjoyed that. Yeah, no, it's an interesting one. I guess I wanted to concentrate on the hemp today because, yeah, every week, the last few weeks, has been various stories about hemp being grown here and there around New Zealand. So, yeah, it is coming back on our shores. And it has been grown here for a long time, you know, as has flax or fibre and that as well. So, anyway, hope you learned something out of that one today. And for now, I'm going to play you a song called A live version of Incinerate by Sonic Youth. Hope you enjoy this one.
Okay, we're rolling again. We'll be right back.
Incinerate live from the basement there from Sonic Youth. Hope you enjoyed that one, and that's it for the show. So I'll be back again next week. Have a great week, everybody. Ka kite anō.